Tonight, if you have your Bibles with you, we're going to be in the book of Matthew tonight. The book of Matthew, chapter number 16. Matthew, chapter number 16 tonight is where we're going to be this evening. Again, it's so good to see you here tonight. If you're visiting with us, we're glad to have you this evening. Our pastor's away taking care of some family issues and matters. And I challenge you to come back Sunday and be with us. But we're glad you're here tonight. Matthew, chapter number 16 tonight is where we'll be. I want to begin reading tonight in verse number 13. It says, "When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, 'Whom do men say the Son of Man am?' And they said, 'Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets.' And he saith unto him, 'But whom say ye that I am?' And Simon Peter answered and said, 'Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God.' And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonas, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it.'" Let's pray tonight. Father, I love you, Lord. Thank you again for this evening. Thank you, Lord, for the ones that have gathered tonight. Lord, I pray tonight, Lord, that you would empty me of myself, fill me with your Spirit, Lord, that I might preach in the power of the Holy Ghost tonight, Father. I just pray for a filling, and I pray you would use me, Lord, tonight, God, to deliver the message, Heavenly Father. May you put your words in my mouth, that I might speak only the truths of the Word of God tonight, Lord. I pray, Heavenly Father, for my audience tonight, may they listen with open ears and open hearts and be receptive to the Word of God. Lord, may they take action upon what they hear tonight, Father. I pray, Heavenly Father, tonight, if one be lost, tonight would be the night that they would come to the saving knowledge of Christ, Lord. May you do a great work in the hearts and lives of your people tonight. Lord, I just pray that you would help us this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. In Matthew chapter number 16, we see the Lord Jesus Christ ask a question. The question is simply, "Whom do men say I, the Son of Man, am?" Basically, what he's doing there is he's asking, what is popular opinion? What does the world say? Who does the world say that I am? And we see here that he's asking this to his disciples. And in verse number 14, this is what his disciples tell him. They say, basically, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. In other words, they're saying, you know, they think that you're just a good preacher, or they think that you're just a good person, or just a good man. And he kind of gets there what popular opinion of himself is there. We see in verse number 15, he asks another question, however. He asks this question, he says, "But whom say ye that I am?" You know, he looked at these men who had been with him, he looked at these disciples who had been following him, and they say, "Who do you say that I am?" You know, I think about in our lives, we need to know who Jesus is. It does not matter what the world thinks of Christ. It does not matter what the world says of Christ. It does not matter of what popular opinion of the Lord Jesus Christ is. No, we personally need to know who Jesus Christ is. We see here that we need to know who Jesus Christ is to us as individuals. I think about this matter of salvation and knowing who the Lord is. You know, salvation is a personal thing. It's a personal thing. Christ saves individuals, and I'm thankful for that tonight. We see as he asks this question, "Whom say ye that I am?" We see that Simon Peter steps up. You know, old Peter, the one that has some boldness about him. He steps up and he says, "I've got the answer to that." We see he says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." He says, "You're the Christ. You're the Messiah. You're the promised one. You're the one that was prophesied in the Old Testament was going to be born of a virgin. You're the one who is going to die on the cross. You're the one who was promised to come." That's who Peter says that he is. We see that Peter knew who the Lord Jesus was. And it wasn't anything that Peter had done. It wasn't anything that he had come to the conclusion of his own. No. What had happened? God had revealed that to him. If you look down in verse number 17, he says, "Blessed art thou, Simon Peter, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Notice there, God had revealed to Peter who Jesus Christ was. You think about today, there are many who are wondering who Christ is. Listen, the only way that they're going to fully understand who the Lord Jesus Christ is going to take an act of God. It's going to take a miraculous revelation where God reveals Himself to them and they realize, hey, Jesus Christ is the one who can save my soul. Jesus Christ is the one who can forgive my sin. Jesus Christ is the one who has all the answers. We see that when someone realizes who the Lord Jesus Christ is, it's a miraculous event. We look down in verse number 18 and we see here that Jesus makes another statement here. He says here, upon this rock, I will build my church. We see that Christ makes this statement, and we need to understand tonight real quickly that the rock that He's talking about is not Peter. He's not talking about Peter. Peter is not the rock which He's talking about. Who is the Lord Jesus talking about? Jesus Christ is referring to Himself. He said, upon this rock, upon myself, I am going to build the church. He's referring to Him. Jesus Christ is referring to Himself, the Savior. He's the one that's going to build the church. In Isaiah 28 and verse number 16, the Bible says, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a tried stone. A precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. We see way back in the book of Isaiah, there was a prophecy of a rock, of a stone where the church was going to be built upon. That tried stone, that precious stone, that cornerstone, that sure foundation. That's a reference to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 3 and verse number 11 it says, for other foundations can no man lay than is laid which is Jesus Christ. Think about a foundation, you know, you can make a foundation out of all sorts of things. But listen, tonight the foundation of the church rests upon the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't rest upon the rebarb and the concrete. It doesn't rest upon the shoulders of a pastor or a preacher. It doesn't rest upon anything else. No, what does it rest upon? It rests upon the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter 2 and verse number 4, it says, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Listen, men may reject Christ tonight. Men may reject the church tonight. Men may reject the doctrines that are taught in the Word of God tonight. But listen, that foundation is chosen of God. And it is precious tonight. Christ is saying tonight that He is the founder of the church. Not only is He the founder of the church, but He's the foundation of the church tonight. I'm thankful tonight that as we stand here in 2015, why has the church made it so long? It's because it was founded upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Why has the church been successful for so long? It's because it was founded upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Why are there independent Baptist churches all over the United States and all over the world tonight? Because they have been founded upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, many churches have been founded by men, and guess what? Those churches fell apart. Many churches have been built by men and built by self-will or built by pride or built by men's gimmicks. And guess what? Those churches have fallen apart tonight. But the church today is a body of believers. The church today, as it goes forward, the church today that has been established, that is successful today, is founded upon the Lord Jesus Christ. I see here that the church was not invented by men. I think about how men have used the church. You know, there are a lot of men who use the church for financial gain. They use the church for political fields. They use the church for their own self-will or whatever. But listen, that is not the church that the Lord had founded. Not only that, it's not only have men used it, men have misused it. But I see tonight the church is the foundation of the foundation of the church rests upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is in the heart of the church tonight, and I'm thankful for that tonight. Tonight, as we look at these verses and we look at some things this evening, what I'd like to do tonight is simply do this. Tonight, I'm going to ask four questions about the church, and then I'm going to answer those four questions about the church tonight. And hopefully, when we leave tonight, we'll have a better understanding of the church. First of all, the first question I'd like to ask tonight is simply this. What is the church? What is the church? The definition of a church means a particular number of Christians united. The disciples of Christ assembled for worship in a particular place. Those who profess to believe in Christ as Savior. Notice there, the church is what? It is a body of believers. Believers. Listen, there are many church houses. There are many church buildings. But listen, the true church tonight is what? It is a body of believers united together. I think about the term church also means called out. In other words, we're the body of believers who have been what? Called out of this world. Why are we different tonight? Because God called us out. Why are we different from what the world is tonight? It's because God called us out, because the Lord Jesus called us out. Why do we stand upon the principles and upon the Word of God that we stand upon? Because God has called us out. So what is the church tonight? Well, the church is two things. First of all, the church is an organism. The church is a living, breathing thing made up of believers tonight. Listen, I've been in many churches, and there are some churches that there is absolutely no breath in them whatsoever. There is absolutely no reason to go to those churches except maybe getting a nap or something to that effect. There's no life in them. But listen, a body of believers that come together who have Christ in their heart and who have Christ in their lives, listen, that church is a living organism. It has breath. It has a spirit that moves. It has a working that goes on. In 1 Corinthians 12:14, it says, "For the body is not one member, but many." Notice that word body. What is a body? It's a living organism. I'm alive tonight. I've got a heartbeat. At least last I checked, I do. You're alive tonight. You've got a heartbeat and everything's breathing and you're functioning tonight. Listen, the church is a body of believers alive this evening. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 6, it says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body, and partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel. Notice there, fellow heirs and of the same body. The church is alive tonight. In Colossians 1 verse 18 it says, "And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence." Notice there tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ is the head of the church. If it has a head, it has a brain. If it has a brain, it has a heart. And therefore, it is functioning tonight. The church is a living organism. You think about a living organism. What does a living organism do? Well, one thing it does is it grows. I think about my little Isolina, you know. It wasn't but about a year ago she was growing inside of my wife's womb there. But now she's growing, seems like, daily, you know. That shows to me that she's a living thing, a living organism. There is life there. You think about a body of believers as a church ought to be growing. Now that doesn't necessarily mean numerically. That isn't always what it means. But it also means not just numerically, but spiritually. We ought to be growing spiritually. We ought to be walking closer to the Lord than what we did last year. We ought to be learning more about Christ than what we did last year. We ought to be growing. Not only that, but a church breathes, you know, a church breathes. We talked a little bit in Sunday school and Pastor hit on a little bit Sunday, but the Holy Spirit breathes inside of a living church. Now listen, when you're sitting in here and the pastor's preaching or someone's teaching the Word of God and something stirs inside of you, guess what? That's the Holy Spirit breathing in your heart, breathing in your soul, stirring you up, and that allows you to know, hey, something's alive in here. Not only that, but the church works. The church works. Listen, if you weren't alive, you could not work tonight. If I was to wake up dead tomorrow, I could not go to work, you know. I wouldn't be able to, you know. But listen, we need to realize, listen, as a body of believers, we're alive and we have the ability to work tonight. Not only is the church a living organism, but the church is also an organization. An organization. The church is an organization. It's a body of believers organized as a group in a local place. I think about this church. I think it was established maybe in the 50s. I'm not 100% sure. But guess what? There was a body of believers, living people, living souls that come together that had been regenerated and they organized the local church. You know, I'm thankful tonight that the Lord still works through the local organized church tonight. He doesn't work through some sort of convention. He doesn't work through some other kinds of means. No, how does He get the gospel out? How does He get the job done? He works through a local organized group of believers. In Acts 2:47, it says, "Praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." Notice that word added. In other words, there was somebody keeping count. And in order to keep count, that means they had to be at least somewhat organized, right? So being organized is an important part of the church. Everyone who has been saved can be a member of a local organized church. The organization of the church has two offices tonight, and we know what they are. They're the pastor. The pastor is the spiritual leader of the church. He's the one who is to feed us. He's the one who's to guide us. He's the one to lead us and show us what we need to be doing for the cause of Christ. The pastor is the one who has a lot of weight on his shoulders, and he's the one that we look to leadership. And we need to understand tonight, we need to pray for him. We need to follow him. We need to trust him, and we need to love him throughout whatever goes on in the local church. Not only that, but the other office is the deacon. And a deacon is a servant, and we have a good deacon. He's a good servant tonight. And listen, we also need to love him, pray for him, and help him if he needs help. Listen, the church is an organization. I don't know about you tonight, but I'm thankful that I go to a church that's organized. You know, when I come in those doors, I kind of got an idea of what's going to go on unless something breaks loose, you know. And if that happens, it's okay. But listen, I've been in churches that you're sitting there like, what in the world's going on, you know? What's going to happen next? Stand up, sit down, stand up, sit down, turn left, turn right. And you're like, what's going on? There's no organization. But listen, I'm thankful tonight the church has an organization. It's local. And I think about the church has been organized in an area. Listen, you talk about this church. We've been placed as an organization in Salisbury, North Carolina to reach the lost tonight. To tell the world Jesus saved. And this is a base of operation so that we might go out into the world. So we see, what is the church tonight? Well, the church is a living organism, and the church is an organization so that it might work for Christ. That brings me to my second point tonight. What is the function of the church? What is the function of the church? The mission of the church is to glorify God by winning men to Christ, by building them up in Christ, and by sending them out for Christ. I think about our duty as a local body of believers. First of all, we have the duty to win men to Christ, to tell others about the Lord. Once we win them, however, the job is not done. There are many times that a man or a woman or a child gets saved and they are not properly discipled. And guess what? That hinders their Christian life. Listen, not only are we to win them, but we're also to instruct them. We're to tell them about the Word of God. We're to tell them you're to pray every day. We're to tell them read your Bible. We're to tell them this is why we believe what we believe, and this is where we stand. And then, as I already said, we're to send them out for Christ. Listen, the job of local believers is not just to sit on these pews, but it's to go out into the world. I see, first of all, tonight, what is the function of the church? Well, the function of the church, the local church should be a dwelling place for God. It should be a dwelling place for God. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 22, it says, "In whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." Listen, I think tonight when we walk in those doors, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, whenever we walk into those doors, we need to realize we're walking into the house of God. We're not just walking into some other place. We're not just walking into Walmart or a home or a sports arena. No, we're walking into the house of God. The Spirit of the living God ought to dwell here. The Spirit of the living God ought to be welcome here. The Spirit of the living God ought to be able to work here. And listen, we need to realize when we walk in those doors, we need to make sure that we're going to welcome the Holy Spirit as we come in. We need to make sure that we leave the things of the world out and don't bring a bunch of mess in here, but seek the Lord and follow the Lord. We need to realize that the local church should be a dwelling place for God. Listen, if I wanted to find God, I should be able to find a local church to find Him at. I think about in my life, there have been times that I needed the Lord. And guess what? One of the best places I found to find Him is at the local church. I don't understand it tonight. When people have trouble, they run to all other directions. Listen, if you've got trouble tonight, I'll tell you where you can find help. It's found in the local independent Baptist church. That's where you're going to get help tonight. Why? Because God dwells there, and that's where God's going to work in your heart and your life. Secondly, the local church should bear witness to the truth. The local church should bear witness to the truth. 1 Timothy 3:15 says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillars and grounds of the truth." Listen, if I need to find the truth tonight, I ought to be able to find it at the local Baptist church. I ought to be able to come here tonight and have somebody stand up with the Word of God and tell me the truth tonight. I ought to be able to listen and be able to realize, you know what? What that preacher or what that pastor or what that Sunday school teacher is telling me, what that RU director, what the Thursday night guy is telling me. Sorry, Daniel, I couldn't remember your name again. What they're telling me is truth tonight. And I can be assured of that. The local Baptist church, the local church should bear witness of the truth. Listen, if anybody ought to have the truth today, it ought to be the local Baptist church. Thirdly, the local church should bring glory to Christ. Ephesians 3:20 says, "To unto Him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." Listen, if anybody ought to bring glory to Christ tonight, it ought to be the local Baptist church. Now think about how that so many churches tonight, they bring shame to the name of Christ. They bring shame to the cause of Christ because of sin in the church or because of fights amongst themselves or whatever other reasons that goes on. But listen, this local Baptist church ought to realize, listen, we should bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to have people say, listen, that's a place where you can find the Lord. That's a place where they glorify Christ. That's a place where they don't uplift any man or any woman or anything else but the Lord Jesus Christ. I see, fourthly, the local church should edify its members. Ephesians 4:12 says, "For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Listen, when we come to church, we ought to come to church to be edified. We ought to come to church to, hey, what do I need to get out of my life? What do I need to change in my life? What do I need to do different in my life? Where do I need to get better? Where do I need to walk closer with the Lord tonight? For the edifying of its members tonight. The local church should evangelize the world. Matthew 28:19. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost." Listen, the local church tonight has a duty to win men to Christ. I think about there's so many churches who have quit winning men. They've quit winning women. They've quit winning children to the Lord. And guess what? Those churches are dying tonight. Those churches are fading tonight. Why? Because they're not doing what they're supposed to do. They're not functioning as they should. I see, thirdly tonight, another thing that I'd like to bring out this evening about the church. Where is the church going? Where is the church going tonight? Some say the church is finished, you know. Some say you just need to shut her down and quit and go to the house. It ain't worth it anymore. Some say that there's no need anymore. Some say the church is going down or declining. But neither of these things are true tonight. I think about where's the church going? Well, the church is going forward. Forward. In Acts 2:47 it says, "And the Lord added to the church daily." Added to the church daily. Listen, the church, did you realize that the church started with 12 men and a few women? It started with 12 men and a few women in an upper room there in Jerusalem. And just think of what it's grown to today. Growed, if that's the right English, I'll get with you later, Tim. You can tell me. But just think of what it's become today. Just think about how great the church is today. Just think about the number of souls that have been saved as a result of the local church tonight. The church is going forward. Notice Christ said in Matthew 18, our text tonight, He says, "And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Listen, we're a victorious people tonight. We're not a defeated people tonight. The world has not defeated us. Satan has not defeated us. The only ones that defeat us are ourselves. Ourselves. So many times we say, well, I can't, or I won't, or whatever excuse. And listen, we need to realize we already have victory tonight. The church can be successful tonight if we'll just realize we're victorious in Christ and move forward and do what He's called us to do. Man, the things that the Lord could do. Every church should be looking to move forward. Every church should be looking to grow. Every church should be looking to become something greater than it is now. So many churches have lost that vision. So many churches are satisfied with the ones that they have. So many churches say, well, we don't want nobody else, you know. We have our family. We have this clique over here. We have our social club, and we're happy with that. Listen, our church needs not be like that. Our church needs to be looking to become greater than what it is now. Looking to do better than what it does now. Looking to do more than what it does now. Not only is the church moving forward, but the church is going up and to a wedding. In 1 Thessalonians 4:17, "Then we which are alive and remain shall be called up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Revelation 19:7-8, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints." Listen, fellas, we don't like going to weddings, but one day we're going to one. One day the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return and He's going to take the church out of here. And guess what? First of all, we need to be glad and rejoice to that fact. It's called the blessed hope, you know. It's called the blessed hope of the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior. Listen, we need to realize tonight that we have hope in Christ because He is coming in. And notice also in Revelation 19, verse 8, it says, fine linen, clean and white. Man, we're getting ready to get a tuxedo like we ain't never wore one day. It's going to be fine linen, clean and white. That means it's going to be so clean, we're going to shine one day. Why? Because all our sins are removed. This flesh is taken out of the way. That old man is taken out of the way. We've got a glorified body, and we're going to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. And then lastly tonight, I see here, this is kind of the challenge this evening. What can you do for your church? We've seen tonight that the church is what the church is. It's an organism. It's an organization. We've seen also tonight, not only that, but the church's function and what it's supposed to be doing. We've seen where the church is going. But listen, tonight as a body of believers, there are things that we could be doing for our local church tonight. First of all, one of the things that we can do for our local church is simply be faithful. Be faithful. You think about faithfulness. It's something that's so easy to do, yet for some reason it's so hard to do sometimes. Just being faithful to what God has called us to do. Just being faithful to the church that He's allowed us to be a part of. Listen, it's a privilege to be a part of a Bible-believing church tonight. There are places tonight that don't have Bible-believing churches. There are countries tonight that don't have Bible-believing churches. There are places in this country that a Bible-believing church does not exist. Listen, we have the privilege of being part of a Bible-believing church tonight. And listen, we need to be faithful. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 25 says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Notice, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together. Listen, there are those that say, I go to church at home. Listen, you won't have the same effect. You won't have the same blessings if you don't get into the house of God. You won't have the same blessings of coming together with a body of believers sitting at the house as you would coming to the local church. I looked at that word exhorting. That word means encouraging to take good action. Listen, tonight when we are faithful, we need to exhort one another to be faithful. To be faithful. Now, I'm not saying beat somebody over the head. I'm not saying tear somebody down. What I'm saying tonight is encouraging them to be faithful. Hey, why don't you come to church? Hey, why don't you come to Sunday school? Hey, why don't you come to Bible study? Hey, why don't you come to RU? Hey, whatever it is that you want somebody to come to, encourage them to do so. You know, we'd be glad to have you. We have a good time. We do this. We do that. Tell them about it and be encouraging about them so that we're more apt to be faithful. Then I say, secondly, not only do we need to be faithful for our local church, but we need to be fruitful. We need to be fruitful. Listen, it's one thing to be sit on the pew and be like a plant and just soak in the rays. But listen, we need to produce some fruit tonight. First Colossians 1 verse 10 says that you might walk worthy of the Lord with all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Listen, we ought to be fruit producers tonight. We ought to produce fruit. We ought to be able to grow in the Lord. We ought to be able to win others to Christ, and we ought to also exhibit some fruits of the Spirit tonight. And then I see thirdly tonight, not only that, but we need to be fearful. Be fearful. You say, what are you talking about? Be fearful there. In Acts chapter 5 and verse number 11, it says, and great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. In Psalms 4 and verse number 4, it says, stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. Selah, that word stand in awe means a fearful reverence of God. But listen, tonight we ought to be fearful of God and His power. We ought to be fearful of God and His holiness. We ought to be fearful of God and what He can do and what He will do and how that He works. Not fearful to approach, but this matter of stand in awe. Have you ever stood in awe of something, you know, just stood there and marveled at it and wondered at it and thought, man, that is awesome, you know? I think about in my life, I had the privilege of being out on the ocean a few times. And I remember one time we were in a charter boat there on the ocean. And you looked back and we were coming in that evening. And you could see the sun setting over Killdevil Hills there in North Carolina. And man, that was a picturesque scene, you know. I just stood there on the bow of that boat and just stood in awe for a few minutes, you know. Listen, we serve a God who's mightier than any sunset, who's mightier than anything this world has. And listen, we need to sometimes just get a reverential fear of who God is and just stand in awe of who He is and realize who we are. Then also I see fourthly tonight, we need to be fervent. Be fervent. Romans 12 verse 11 says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Fervent means hot, boiling, earnest, exciting, or glowing. Now listen, we ought to be excited about what's going on at the house of God. We ought to be excited about what's going on at the local Baptist church. We ought to be hot for the Lord, or boiling for the Lord. Not boiling mad, but boiling to go forth and do a work for Him. So in closing tonight, we've simply asked four questions and done our best to answer those questions about the church tonight. The question now is, where is this church at and where is this church going? As a body of believers, as a member myself here, I would like to see our church continue to grow and to continue to go forward. I ask tonight, first of all, is our church functioning as it should? Is our church functioning as it should? We went over those things tonight and we looked at the function of the church and the different things that the church does and the different things that it goes about. You know, is our church a dwelling place for God? Is our church a place that bears witness to the truth? Is our church a place where we bring glory to Christ? Is our church where our members are edified? Is our church going forth and evangelizing the world tonight? Then I see, secondly, is our church alive tonight? Has it got a heartbeat, you know? Has it got a strong heartbeat? And then lastly tonight, what are we doing for our church? What are we doing for the local Baptist church?